Perek Beis. Okay, Perek Beis.
And Bahaloscha.
And Bahalos, that is correct. We read this after twice, that is correct. Okay, Perek Beis, towards the end of the Perek, let me get to the right page.
732.
Page 732, thank you, 732. Okay, finishing up.
Yeah.
Okay, yesterday, we're up to, we just started yesterday, the Pasuk Tezayin and Pasuk Yudzayin. Let me read the Pasukim again. Let me read the Pasukim. The Pasuk begins, V'nachal Hashem es Yehuda chelke. Hashem will inherit. Okay, Hashem will inherit Yehuda as his portion. I'll put everyone on mute. Hashem will inherit Yehuda as his portion. Al Admas HaKodesh, upon Eretz Yisrael, the Holy Land. This is a very interesting expression. We're calling Eretz Yisrael Admas HaKodesh. Uvochar Oid Birushalayim. We just touched upon this yesterday, just a bit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to select again. There's going to be a second selection for that Yerushalayim will be it will be the Mokim of the Hashruas Hashchina. Has kol basa b'nei Hashem. Okay, silence. May all basa be silent before Hashem. Ki ne'or Hashem has been aroused. Mima'oim kacha from his holy abode. Okay, let's see over here. Let's see the Mitzvah David. The Mitzvah David Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk Tezayin says, V'nochal Hashem ha'mokom yinchal es Yehuda ki me'oz liyos chelkoi li'oilo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to inherit Yehuda, like from time immemorial, like it was in the past. Liyos chelkoi li'olam al admas hakodesh v'lo yiglu oid mimeno, and will no longer go into exile. Uvocha oid b'Yerushalayim lahashkin sham shechinasa kimeos. Okay, very straightforward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to inherit Eretz Yisrael, the admas hakodesh, Yehuda chelk Hashem, Hashem v'nachal v'lihim Hashem will bequeath. Hashem will bequeath. He will cause Yehuda to inherit their portion upon Eretz Yisrael. Hashem will give Yehuda. Yehuda here seemingly refers to either Malchus of Yehuda, Binyamin and Shevet Yehuda, upon like it was in the past upon Admas HaKodesh, and then Hashem will select once again Yerushalayim as the Mokam of the Hashoras Hashchina. The next pasuk says, "Haskol Bosav Nei Hashem, may all flesh be silent before Hashem." Mitzudois shisku kol hu umois mi pachad Hashem. He adds and he embellishes the translation of the word the pachad. And who is the pasuk addressing? According to the Mitzudois, it's addressing the umois ha'olam. They will be silent for the pachad of Hashem. V'lo tosiv oy laharchiv laharchiv pe al Yisrael. They will no longer open up their mouth to say something nasty about Klal Yisrael. Ki ne'or, ki oz ye'or mimoin kodshoi hashamayim loredes la'asoyitz nokam ba'umas. That's the time of vengeance. This is the moment the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to exercise revenge against the Umay Yisrael for all of their sins. Ki adheinu hechadish, ki ilu hoya yoshein aval oz, ki ilu ye'or mishnoso. So here, he says something very interesting, the Mitzvah Stav. He says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to awake. He adds in the word Ye'or, to be awakened, mi shenoso, from his shena, from his sleep. That is problematic because we have a principle. Hine lo yonum velo yishon shener Yisrael. Hashem does not sleep. In the Megillah, Balayla hahu nodida shenas hamelech. Chazal darshan, what does it mean shenas hamelech? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was awakened, Shenosoi, the Melech here refers to the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he woke up. He woke up, which gives us the impression HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times appears to sleep. Okay, so here we have two Pesukim which are telling us HaKadosh Baruch Hu sleeps. The Pasuk here in Zechariah, Ki Ne'or, Hashem will awaken, he will awaken. According to the Mitzudas, the word Ne'or means he will awaken from his slumber. And in the Gilas Esther, Nodida Shenas the Gemara. Okay, it's not a Mitzudah, it's a Maimah Chazal. Nodida Shenas HaMelech. When it says in Megillah Melech, without Melech Achashverosh, it alludes to the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will awaken. So you have two Psukim describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu awakening from his slumber. There are different words. One is Nodida, and the other here is Ne'or. These are two different words, which have two different connotations. There are different types of sleep. Sleep, we all know, is something which is extremely complex. Okay,
that's why Unculus doesn't like it, and he says it gilei.
We'll reveal. Right, Ne'ar does not mean he disappears.
Like the waking up.
Hashem doesn't sleep. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shemer Yisrael. How do we reconcile?
That's our perception.
Okay, it's a very complicated topic, but it's interesting to take note here that there are two different types of sleep. There is ne'or, and there is nadida. Two different words. If you want to accept that what the Mitzudas David says is correct, and the Mitzudas David usually is malakit. The Mitzudas David usually is whatever Mitzudas David says, usually, if you look in the Rishonim, you will find a Rishon that says exactly what he said. He usually doesn't say his own chidushim. You can trace what he says to the Parshonim, the basic Rishonim. It's not always on the page, but you know, these are not the only Rishonim that have a parish on Nach, and you can trace it to a Rishon. So if he's saying it's correct that Ne'or he means from sleep, it's interesting, the different terms. And we know in science, in the medical world, that there are many different types of sleep. Today's sleep is a big business. Okay, sleep apnea, there are it's a $1 billion business. Getting a good night's sleep, all the different issues that snoring and the heart and position and what type of bed you have, a soft mattress, a hard mattress, is enormous chokhmah in getting a good night's sleep and how the mind works. And what and how long it takes for the mind to enter in what they call, I think it's called REM, rapid eye movement, which represents a very deep state of rest, of where your mind is in a different place. And indeed, Chazal already knew about this, because Chazal say when they speak about having a dream, if a dream is a form of prophecy, Chazal say the dreams that you have right before you wake up are significant, meaning the dreams that you have when you just take a little nap and you fall asleep are less significant. And science explains that it certainly matches that up, because when the longer you sleep undisturbed, the deeper your mind enters into a different sphere, into a different world. You're connected. It's a whole. We know scientifically with instruments that your mind is in a different place later in the evening, the longer you sleep, right before you wake up. It's in a different makom. Chazal already 2,000 years ago told us that they know the mind is in a different place at that moment in time, because those dreams are the dreams which have more significance in potential of connecting to another world, to having a dream that has a degree of significance. Okay, this is just an interesting ha'ara. I always like to point out, we're talking about sleep, that Adam HaRishon, Hashem put him to sleep. On Adam HaRishon, when Adam HaRishon analyzed all of the animals, and he was trying to find the zivug. He saw that every creature had a zivug, but ula Adam lo matza, he did not find, I forgot the words of the pasuk, he did not find the parallel. So and he said
Ezer
Kenegdo. He did not find for himself a mate. And then Hashem said, oh, excellent. Now that you acknowledge that you're missing something, okay, a shidduch only comes when you acknowledge, like Adam HaRishon, that you're missing, you're lacking, and you have a need. Adam HaRishon made an observation. The whole world, every creature has a zug, has a partner, and I don't have a partner. Where is my partner? Oh, now that you acknowledge that you need a partner, that's kachi darko shel olam, now I can help you. You can't help a person who doesn't want to be helped. When Hashem made Adam, he did not want to be helped. He did not know what he was missing. Hashem had to orchestrate this entire process of giving him a job to name all the animals, to discover the Bria. It does not exist such a thing as being alone. There's always a partner. And Adam HaRishon was given the task. He was a zoologist. He was the first zoologist to analyze all of the animals. He was even the biggest zoologist in Noah to analyze all the animals. And his conclusion was every animal has a zug, and that must mean that Umoisar Adam Min Habehema Oyin. There's no difference between man and animal. If an animal has a wife, so man also must have a wife. Where is my wife? Oh, now you want to be helped? Okay, I can help you. How, what did Hashem do? He told them to lie down on the couch. Vayapel Hashem Elokim al ha'adam tar deima, a very deep sleep. But nowhere in the entire Tanakh does it ever say Adam woke up. Doesn't say that. It says Hashem brought upon men a tardema. We are just living in his dream, Rabbi Isai. Doesn't say he woke up. In his dream, Hashem, he fashioned Chava, Vayivin es Atzela, Vayivyeh el Ha'adam. But it doesn't say that he woke up. We're just sleeping. Okay, so this is, it's not a joke. This is, there's something going on over here in regard the first time we find the idea of waking up is Yaakov Avinu. Vayikatz Yaakov. Yaakov woke up from the dream when we went to Lavan, and he lied down and he took the 12 stones, and they miraculously they turned into one stone, and he went to sleep. He saw the vision of the Sulam, Reisha Magia Hashamaima, the Malachi Elokim Oilim the Yardinboy. He went to sleep. That is the first place in Chumash it is revealed the principle that there's something in this world called waking up. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnosoi. Take note, a new word for waking up. Here the word is Neor. In Megillas Esther, the word is Nodida. And here, now Nodida, you'll say, means, what does it mean Nodida? If you look at the article translation, it probably says he was disturbed. It was that he could not fall asleep. He suffered from sleep apnea.
Insomnia.
He couldn't go to sleep. But Chazal don't learn like that. Chazal clearly learned the word nadida means to awake. The pshat in the pasuk is he was unable. The attempt to bring the chevle shena upon him was disturbed. He was unable to fall asleep. The Gemara Masech, the Megillah, without beyond the shadow of a doubt, translates the word nadida to mean awaken.
Doesn't the word nadida come from the word nava, nod?
To movement,
yes.
Right.
So,
so you means you're sleeping, you're at peace. When you are awakened, it means there's movement. You are, your spirit is moved, which is a way of saying that you wake up. You're at peace.
Or maybe he couldn't sleep. That sleep eluded him. It kind of wandered off.
Right, that's the pshat. That's the pshat by the Melech HaChashverosh. But Chazal don't
yes.
say that. It says, Nodido Shinoso Shel Malko Shel Oilam, which means in that context that Hashem, the way the Gemara, the pshat in the Gemara, the silver pshat of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, was sleeping, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu awoke. And that represents the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made a decision. He's now going to save Klal Yisrael. He accepted the prayers. Leich k'nais kol ha'yehudim. So in the Gemara, even though the pshat, nadida means he was unable, he was prevented from going to sleep. But according to the pshat in the Gemara, nadida means he was awakened. So we have over here three different words for waking up. Nadida, ne'or, and Vayikatz, Yaakov mi shinoso. Yaakov was awakened, awoke up from his dream. So from his sleep. Obviously, the selection of the different words alludes to different elements in consciousness. Okay, people, they daydream. People can be in a deep sleep. People, you know, in the shir, I have all the different types in the shir. All the times. I have even more. I have much more. All different. I can give you many examples of all different types. I'm a master at putting people to sleep. I'm telling you, if someone has insomnia, send them to me. Send them to my shir. He'll be out cold before you turn around.
Rabbi, what about the
why
word
you laughing
Yisheng?
So, why are you laughing so hard? Yeah, what you say? What you say?
What about the word Yisheng?
Vayashkem, so Vayashkem, very good. Okay, you know something, you're saying a good point. Vayashkem Avraham Aboyker. That's right. That's also a term which you can explain to me. He woke up from sleep. Okay? Vayashkem, yeah, why not? So that's a fourth word. Okay, so we have now already four words. And it's not a coincidence why there are four words. Obviously, each word is touching upon a different degree, a different element, a different dimension of being asleep. When you're asleep, there are obviously different concepts in being asleep. Even whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's a state of awareness, consciousness. Okay, there are different madrigot of going to sleep. And by the way, once we're talking about sleep, this which eludes me, we always like to talk about this, is that we know that Adam was nivra in the tselem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. And a human being must sleep. This is built into the Bria. The Gemara says a person makes a shavua that I will not sleep for 3 days. Is it 3 days? I think it's more than 3 days. I've got it. That it's a shavua shav. Because it is impossible for a human being to operate without any sleep whatsoever for a prolonged period of time, 3 days. Impossible. That's the way Hashem made human beings. They enter into a state of the subconscious, into a state of the conscious shuts down, whatever, however you want to define sleep. How could that be? Because we have a principle. Man is created in the image of Hashem. And by the Ribbono Shel Olam, there is no such thing as sleep. Hine lo yonum velo yishon shomer Yisrael. Hashem does not sleep. It says in the Megillah, Nadadash Nasa Melech, it's a kasha. Enochnami, but it doesn't take away from the basic principle. So it's very fascinating that man is not really in the Tzelem Elokim, or you have to say that sleep is not part of the category of the Tzelem Elokim. You have to answer this question one way or another. We always are taught that everything that we find by the Ribbono Shel Olam must have a parallel by a human being, or by a human being, because Hashem did not create this world in order to trick us. He's not out to get us. He's out to make life easy for us. And in order that we can relate to him, we can connect to him, although Hashem is beyond infinite, beyond our comprehension, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in a way where we, can relate to Hashem through this principle of Ki Betzelem Elokim Osa Es Ha'adam. We have arms by Hashem. There's something called the Zroya Hanetuya. We have feet. Hashem has a Hadoim Raglof to put us to rest his feet. Okay, we have ears. Hashem listens. We have a nose. Hashem has a Charoin Af. Reach Nichoyach. Eyes. The list goes on and on. We discussed this yesterday. We always talk about this. So where then Midos? Mahu Rachum. Af Atotehi Rachum. Okay, the Maamar Chazal to prove this point goes on and on. Yet, when it comes to sleep, there is absolutely no parallel. It's a shavua shav. It's impossible. It's impossible for a human being to remain awake for more than 3 days. Shavua shav. And Hashem, no such thing. Hashem is every moment is aware of what's going on. How do we reconcile this? It must then be that sleep and consciousness is outside of the league of Tzelem. Tzelem is not an all-inclusive principle. Ze keli ve'anvehu, ani vohu is not everything. There are things that are outside that realm which are differences between man and Hashem. And this principle of consciousness, awareness, self-awareness is a major difference. Okay, I just finished reading a fascinating book by, there was a person in Eretz Yisrael, his name was Rav Shlomo Hafman. Shlomo Hafman was a psychologist, and he was the go-to man for all the Gedolei Yisrael. He was 90 years old when he died, if I'm not mistaken. He died about 2-3 years ago. No one ever heard of him. You never hear anyone talk about him. And after he died, maybe died a little long, maybe died a couple long, probably died a few, probably died more than that. And people came out and he taught mechanchen. He taught teachers about the secrets of the soul, how to deal with students. He had techniques that became very popular and very successful. He worked in Eretz Yisrael for a good part of his life for the prison system, the correction facility. I don't know what they call it in Eretz Yisrael. He would try to rehabilitate criminals in Eretz Yisrael. And all the judges knew him. Every judge in Eretz Yisrael in the prison system, they knew him. And whatever he said, they did. Whatever he recommended, if a hardened criminal, and if Hoffman said to let him go, they let him go. If Hoffman said to do this, whatever Hoffman said, they did. And the Gedolei Yisrael, he was a Haredi. It was incredible. You have to read him as bio. It's unreal. And Rav Shach and the Chazon Ish. I mean, you go down the whole long list of the Gedolei Yisrael. They consulted with him. They would go and they would ask him what to do. They asked him for advice. They asked him to deal with people. They asked him what he thought. It's incredible. One of his big yesodos in this book is self-awareness. He has a lot of yesodos. But one of the main section of the book is techniques and the importance of self-awareness. Self-awareness is a very high advanced state of consciousness. It's a very high level of being awake. To be awake, to be aware of your surroundings, aware of yourself. When a person is sleeping, there's no self-awareness. You're gone. You don't know what's going on. You're not aware of your surroundings. The Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the main difference being awake and being asleep. When you're awake, there's self-awareness. When you're sleeping, there is no self-awareness. The Ribbono Shel Olam, it's very fascinating, is always awake. And what does that mean? Hashem has the ultimate self-awareness. How do you understand that principle by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Relative to human beings, we don't even know who we are. Because we go to sleep every couple of hours, we lose our awareness of who we are. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows who he is, whatever that means. Hashem is aware of his. It's not only we don't even know who Hashem is. Forget about the fact that we don't know who Hashem is. Ki lo yirani adam v'chai. We have no clue of the essence of Hashem. We don't even know who we are. You could have someone describe a person. Can you imagine this? You do this every single person. You can have a person. I want to tell you about a certain person. I want to describe you, this fellow. And you go and you describe in utter detail the person. That thing is address and his name, but you describe him. And the listener can listen for hours to an in-depth description of a person, and the listener has no clue that the speaker is describing him. He's describing you. Because a person is so unaware of his behavior, of what makes him tick, that when somebody else describes you, you don't even realize they're talking about you. And you can pull this off with any person. you can analyze a certain dimension of a person's personality and describe it to someone and give examples, and the listener has no idea what you're talking about. Isn't that scary? We don't even know who we are. Forget about knowing who Hashem is. The Ribbono Shel Olam is never asleep. Hinei lo yinu v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. It doesn't just mean Hashem is watching us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is aware of his of himself. That changes the equation entirely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what he has done and what he will do and what has been done to him. He's aware of himself. Okay, we never look at it in that fashion. When we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're always selfish. What have you done for us today? When you get up in the morning, you go daven shachris. No. What did you do for me today? What are you going to do for me today? What did you do for me yesterday? Do I have to say thank you to you? Did you give me a gift yesterday? What are you going to do for me today? It's all about give. Or do I have to give you hakaras hatov? We don't ever look at Kadosh Baruch Hu as a being of, is Hashem aware of himself? We're always trying to, we don't look at it from that perspective. But that's really what sleep is all about. When a person goes to sleep, his self-awareness is shut down. When he's awake, he's aware of himself to a degree. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never sleeps doesn't just mean Hashem is awake. It means that Hashem's sense, self-awareness of himself, of how he operates, his midos, his hanhogos, are perfect, are clear as day. We are not aware of ourselves, and that's why we do things. We don't know why we do things. We don't know where our weaknesses lie, where our strengths lie, because we're not aware of ourselves. Hine lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. It's a very deep idea. It totally changes the perspective. Okay, let's now go to back to.
If I may interject the my own shot on the pasuk, we got Ki Betzelem Elokim Asor Sodom. The following phrase explains what it means. The way the pasuk ends, and it says, "Ve'atem puru shu'tu ba'aretz uruva." Only I am one. You have to be fruitful, multiply.
Because you die.
So Ki Betzelem Elokim Asor Sodom. However, the atem pruru.
There's a limitation. It's coming to limit, right? The limit is even though
you're gonna have to be fruitful, multiply, because you don't have. I mean, you're just not me.
You're B'Tselem.
I made you my image, but you're not me.
It's coming to dilute. Don't get carried away.
Be aware.
Okay, very good. It's true. Okay, let's go further. Okay, like this. So therefore, we have now lamaskan.
Yeah. One more.
Yes.
When a person sleeps,
yeah,
body sleeps. His neshama is not asleep.
Oh.
Because we see that he is breathing, and we say also the neshama goes up and writes down what he did and whatever. That's number one. So there is an element
of hinei lo yinu v'lo yishon. Okay.
Because we say hamila ne'or. Is binyan nif'al, means he was awakened by somebody else, by the situation, by what's happening.
Okay.
We think it's the Bartu Akum Shon Adam, somebody mentioned before, as from our point of view, it looks like he's sleeping, but he is not asleep. He's awakened. He's quiet. However, if somebody wakes him up, if somebody gives two minutes out to the Yehudim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind of waking up, like to action, by somebody
else. Somebody else. Okay, so
he was awakened by somebody, by what's happening.
You're touching upon another very powerful idea, and this is something you have to talk to the big psychologists, people who really know the secrets of the mind. Sleep, true sleep, can you wake yourself up whenever you want, when you're sleeping? Now we know there's a human clock. When you go to sleep and you say to yourself, okay, there are many people that can do this. Tomorrow, I'm getting up at 3:34 and 26 seconds. Right? I want to get up. Every day you get up at 6:45. But tomorrow I have to go somewhere. I want to get up at 6:34 and 23 seconds. Guess what? Exactly at 6:34, you're up. You can do that. Many people, there are people that can do that to the second. Okay, but here's the point. Let's say you say to yourself, I'm getting up tomorrow at 6:34 and 23 seconds. Can you get up in the middle of the night at 6 o'clock? At 3 o'clock? At 3 o'clock? You program yourself before you went to sleep. You program yourself. I want to get up at this time. Let's say in the middle of the night, you have a change of plan. Now, I don't know what that means. You have a middle of the night, you're sleeping. Is it possible for you to awaken yourself in the middle of the night on your own, whenever you want, that was not something that you programmed yourself to do in advance? So you made a very good point. Sleep, you find in Chazal often, is that someone has to wake you up. Someone has to wake you up. You cannot wake you up. It's like a prisoner. And there's proof to this in Chazal. Ein chovush matir atzmoy mibei suhasurim. A prisoner cannot release himself from his own captivity. The terms Chazal use for sleep are the terms of a prisoner. When you go to sleep, you say, Hamapil chevle shena. You tie us up. You bring upon us cords, ropes. And in the morning you wake up, you say, Baruch Matir Asurim. You release man from his captivity. And you say, Amavir Shena Me'enoi Usnuma. You talk about the Amavir Chevle Shena, the ropes of sleep. So we find a principle in Chazal. Chazal was psychologists. And I think today, I don't know, you have to talk to the psychologist. If you program yourself to go to wake up at 3:34 and 23 seconds, from Chazal it's mashma, it's impossible for you, if you are sleeping, you fall into a deep sleep, impossible to wake up on your own at 3:21 and 10 seconds. You can program yourself when you want to wake up, but outside of that, you're a prisoner. Someone has to wake you up. You can't wake up. There can be external stimulus. No, you can smell smoke. There can be an alarm clock. Someone can be snoring. Okay, but let's say there's nothing external. There are no external things happening to wake you up. Can you on your own come out of that sleep without being awakened by someone else? No. Ein chovush matir atzmai mibei suasurim. So, you say something very powerful, that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always awake. Hinei loinu v'loishon shomer Yisrael, but that's a shomer, a guardian. But to be awakened, to take action, Hashem has to be woken up. Ki betzelem elokim asa esa adam. Hashem has to be woken up. There is an element. Hashem is always, there's a self-awareness. That's correct. But for Hashem to take action, to go be proactive, there's a din of ne'or, as Rav Kalman said, to be woken up, to be aroused. How? Through our tefillos, our davening, our mitzvahs. Esther, lech k'nois es kol ha'yehudim, v'tzumu olai, v'al teichlu v'al tishtu. That was an act which woke up Hashem. Not that Hashem ever sleeps. Hashem is, there's a self-awareness in being passive, in being a shomer, but to be proactive, to be ne'or. A human being doesn't just wake up. He needs someone to wake him up. Okay, so you touched upon a very powerful idea, which is absolutely true. This din of being ne'or. It's Lamaskan over here, we went on a big tangent. And we learn over here, there are four terms. So at least we have, so far at least in Chumash, four terms. Vayashkeim Avraham Baboiker. We have here, Ne'or Mimo'oin Kotshoi. In the Haggadah, Nodadosh Nas HaMelech. And Yaakov Avinu vayikatz Yaakov mishenosoi. Four different terms for awakening. Obviously, each term captures another dimension of being asleep. We discussed the idea of what sleep really is. It is a lack of self-awareness, which is a critical element of the human condition. To succeed in life, you have to be self-aware of what makes you tick. Where are your strengths? Where are your weaknesses? Every person is unique, and that the whole book is about this. Rav Shlomo Hoffman, fascinating, fascinating book about self-awareness, to understand the value in understanding what makes you operate, what gives every, and every person is unique, and it can be a lifelong mission to really figure out what pushes you in every given situation. But if you know the secret, you have a great advantage. You can manipulate that power for good. Okay, let's go further. Now let's take a look over here at the next mitzudos. We did already to wake up, and now we go to Rashi. So we're up to pasuk tezayin in Rashi. V'nochal is hifil. Hashem will cause to inherit, bequeath. Hashem will bequeath the Yehuda al admas hakodesh, his portion licha lenachalosei ulichelkoi. Okay, it's a very interesting word, chelkoi, his portion. V'nochal Hashem es Yehuda chelkoi, his portion. So Rashi is in the Lamed to be for his inheritance and his portion. What does it mean? Chelak. Okay, something interesting. Whatever. Let's leave with that. Pasuk Yitzayin has kol basar, silence. Will everyone please mute yourself? Has kol basar kol shar humais, all the nations. So this with the Mitzvah Stav. The Mitzvah Stav is exactly the same thing. He makes these wild shifts. The beginning of the pasuk talks about Klal Yisrael. And then suddenly out of nowhere, the next pasuk talks about the Umayis Ha'olam. Has kol basa ki kol shar Umayis ki ne'ar l'shoin ha'ira ve'ha'kitza, awakening. So it appears that Rashi, as well as the Mitzvah Stavid, not like if Kalman took good note that it's not really what the Targum, we should really learn more Targum here. Targum says, Arei isgili. Okay, Hashem is revelation, a revelation in Hiskalos. We learned yesterday in Chumash, by Yero Elov Hashem be'elone mamre. So Rashi, that we learned yesterday Targum in the afternoon, by Yero Rashi, there's the Unkelus says Iskali, the same exact word, and the Perish on the side, the Ma'at Sari, he explains that's not the word you would expect. It should say Lashon Chazoin, v'chazohi. And the reason why the pasuk said Vayera translated it Iskali, because the word Chazoin means to see with your own eyes, and that's impossible regarding Hashem. Lo yirani adam v'chai. So when Hashem appears, it means he appears in the mind, in concept, in awareness, in Hiskalus, a revelation of the mind. And here as well, it says ki ne'or. It means a revelation. It means there's going to be an arousal of Hashem's divine revelation, divine presence. Not like what Rashi says, and the Mitzudos, which means, it means that Hashem is taking action. The focus of Rashi and the Mitzudos is not so much that the world becomes aware. It's that Hashem is mobilized. It's true, when Hashem is mobilized, people pay attention. It's two sides of the same coin. But the question is, which side of the coin are we emphasizing? Rashi and the Mitzudos are emphasizing Hashem is mobilizing. Hashem is moving. He's being proactive. The Targum says, and what is the result when Hashem is proactive and mobilizes? The world pays attention. Okay, it's true. They're totally zeb is zeb, but it's a different focus. It's a different focus. Next Rashi, that is the end of Rashi. Now over here on the side, I don't know, you don't have it in your edition, you don't have it, unless you have the article edition. I apologize for not being having on the screen today. Those who came late, the screen, my computer is, it's not, the computer works, just I don't work. I came a little bit too late to reboot. I really should do a fresh reboot every day, and that would solve 99% of my problems. They teach you in technical school that if you work in a company and someone calls you up, one of the employees, oh, I have a problem with my computer. What do you say? Reboot. The first thing you say is reboot. When you reboot, it solves 95% of the problems. It's really true. And I take this computer with me later. I go back and forth. So therefore, that's why I don't reboot it. I just put it to sleep, which is not a good idea. So if I would reboot, it would probably solve most of the problems. But I could have difficulty getting it on the screen. In Mircham, tomorrow we'll have it back on the screen. But over here in the Art School edition on page 732, there is a Sifsei Zikadim on this Rashi, on the right side of the Rashi, which says, Neor Perish Rashi Lashon, or is going into some grammar. The ayin naor when it's halfa to know about. Okay, let's leave it out. Okay, let's leave it out. Some grammar, which I don't know. I don't want to get into trouble and say nonsense. Let's go to the Radak. Okay, the Radak. Up to Radak. Pasik tezayin. Pesach Zayin is only one. Pesach Zayin. V'nochal Hashem es Yehuda shu chelik hakel. Hashem will bequeath to Yehuda their portion. Shu chelik hakel yisparach oz yinchal oisay hakel yisparach sheyinachal oisay. Yehuda is Hashem's portion. That's a little surprising. Why is it surprising? Because Levi is Hashem's portion. Al kein lo yeh lelevi chelik v'nachala ki Hashem hu nachalasa. Okay, it's the pasuk in the Torah. Levi is Hashem's portion. So what is going on over here? This pasuk is a very disturbing pasuk. The pasuk is saying that Yehuda is Hashem's chelik. That's not correct. Levi is Hashem's chelik. And in fact, you know, the pasuk tezvav, the pasuk before, it says, "V'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem." We actually made use of the word Levi. Hapam yilove ishi elai. So don't tell me that the pasuk forgot about Levi. We just used the word Levi in the pasuk before, and now it's saying, "Who is the portion of Hashem Yehuda?" What happened over here? As Ramchol says, replacement theology. Hashem exchanged Levi for Yehuda. Nachum ol Radak. Shehu chelek hakel yisparach, oz then, yinchal oisei hakel yisparach, sheyiye nachal osoi al admas hakoidesh, sheyetzei mehagolus, veyiye nachlas hakel al admas hakoidesh. And the nachlas of Hashem will be on the Holy Land, v'yaposek hazeh k'moy ki chelek Hashem amo, Yaakov chevel nachal osoi, that the chelek of Hashem is his nation, Yaakov is the rope of his inheritance, the portion of his inheritance, V'zochar Yehuda lefi shehu roish mam lechois Yisrael v'im b'bayisheni Yehuda hu sheshav me'agolos. Okay, he is disturbed. The Radak asked the question, but he doesn't really give a good answer. Sorry, Radak. He doesn't really give the question, and I just said he's really asking between the lines, is why dafka Yehuda? So he says because Yehuda represents the entire cloud. Malchus, lo yosur shevet Yehuda. Really, the pasuk means that Klal Yisrael is Hashem's portion, or we are Hashem's portion. Yehuda is just a title for Klal Yisrael. That's a weak answer. It's a weak answer. And the other answer is we're discussing the times, current events. Who is the one who returned? Who returned back to when we learned the pasuk? That's how I really translated it. When we returned to Eretz Yisrael during this time, it was only the Malchus of Yehuda who returned to Eretz Yisrael. The Malchus of Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim, never came back. So current events demand that we describe the return of Yehuda, Malchus Yehuda, which includes two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin. Okay, these are the answers. The question is better, I'm sorry, than the answers. Next. Pasuk Yizayin Has.
So then, could I just tell you the Mount the Apar Benel, Chalko means the Bayis Shlishi, when all the Shvatim will have equal access to Yerushalayim. That Chalko means the eventual, where everybody will have equal chelek and Hasmi Panav Kol Aretz.
No complaints.
Complain anymore. The now Yehuda owns all of Yerushalayim. In the future, he won't. Everybody will have. Yerushalayim is open territory.
So you're saying that, and the pasuk is saying Chalko means it's diminished.
And the future he's talking about, the Levi and Yehuda, he's talking about the Chashmonaim. He goes into a long thing about the whole he's giving future here when he starts Yoshua Kohen Agadol.
Okay. So you're saying that really Hashem, according to you, the basic gist he's saying is that the word Chalko means I'm going to take away. During time, by Yesheni, you had an enormous chunk of land. Yehuda, I'm sorry, you're only going to have a chelek, a small amount.
You're going to have your portion.
And quiet.
The way it was meant to be.
And don't complain.
Not the way Yoshua divided it up.
And don't complain. Haskell, boss, and no complaints.
And then, therefore, Hasmi Panam, nobody,
no
everybody's
complaints.
Going to be happy with their portion.
Aha, because everyone's going to be equal, equality.
Right.
Equality. Okay, I hear this. Yeah, we have to see the inside. That's a chiddush.
Yeah, I hear.
Let's see. Has called stoik. The word has means silence. Silence. Kamoshe perashnu. Ki ne'ar. In that book, Hoffman, when they have all the people, one thing comes out, all the gedolim said about him, when they asked to describe him, he was the best listener. Rabbi Shlomo Hoffman. That's another yisoid that comes out in this bio. Everyone said about him, he knew how to listen. There's an art in listening, okay? There are people who listen, and there are people who really listen. Listening doesn't just mean shtoik, quiet. Listening means to be attentive, to ask the right questions, to know when to ask, know when to be quiet. It's an art that very few people, if any, have mastered the art of listening. This person, this very great person, Rav Shlomo Hoffman, in this book, that thing which comes out front and center, he knew how to listen. Has, what does has mean? Does has mean silence, or does has mean listen? I don't think it means listen. I think it means silence, right? There's a different. There are different words. There are different connotations. But it says here has shtoik, kimoshe perashtu in Tzefanya. Hashem has been aroused from the heavens. The Omar Ne'or al Derech Mashal. The word Ne'or is a Mashal. Ki Isha Sher Ye'or Mishino. So this was what it said in the Mitzuda. It's like a man who has been awakened from his slumber. Al Derech Sha'omar Vayikatz Ki Yoshein Hashem. Okay, I don't know what that means. Pasuk in Tehillim. I don't know what that means. But there in that pasuk, it means something like he woke you woke up. He woke up. Ne'or mibinyan nifal minochecha ayin. This is what it said in the Sifzei Zekeinim. The word, the grammatical form of the word ne'or means, it means al mishkal novoin nochoin af al pi shehem bekomatz hanun v'zeh b'tzerei. It means it's like a noun almost. Even though it's a verb, obviously, to wake up, it's an action, but the way it means, it's more of a statement. I'm not sure what he means over here. Al mishkal novon, nochon, correct. Novon means understanding. Ne'or, it's a state of being. I think what it means is, he means to say is that it's a state of awareness. It doesn't mean to wake up. In the verb form, ne'or means you wake up. You're sleeping, and you open your eyes, and it takes time, right? It takes time to wake up. They say, Moda, he told me this, I have to go call him up. David Jalal, Avmeir, you there, Avmeir? We have to call him up. You have to go call him up. Say hello to him. David Jalal Ramaphor, we have to call him up. So he wants to send him the share. Mode ani lefnecha melechai v'kayom shechazar to be nishmasi b'chemlo rabba emunasech. Is that 12 words? Okay, am I correct? So he said there was a secular scientific study that said that when you wake up in the morning, it takes exactly 12 seconds to come to boot up. Okay, when you turn on the computer, how long does it take your computer to boot up? Okay, so the new computers today, they're much better than the olden days. In the olden days, it took 10 minutes to boot up your computer. Today, they boot up much faster. How long does it take a person when he's sleeping to boot up? So I think scientifically, they with many very sophisticated instruments, he told me, he showed me an article, it takes like 12 seconds. And it's not a coincidence that it takes exactly 12 seconds to say, Mode ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayom shechazarta bi nishmasi b'chemla rabba emunasecha. The amount of time it takes to say those words is exactly the amount of time it takes for a healthy person, according to our scientists out there, to boot up in a healthy, ideal way. So here he's saying the word that. So is that what it means? Does it mean those 12 seconds? So it seems that the Radak and the Sifsei and Zakenim are saying that's not what it means. It doesn't mean the 12 seconds of booting up. It means after those 12 seconds. After those 12 seconds, you are in a state of awareness. Okay, it's not an action. The action would be the 12 seconds of going from unconsciousness to consciousness. Neyar means number 13. I'm now fully awake. I am now in a state of being awake. Just like the word novon, a person who is, his identity is a discerning person. Nochon, a matter that is correct. It is a state of being. So too, neor is a state of being. Question, if that's really what it means, so the word should be noor. It should not be neor. Neor has a connotation of an action, not of a noun. So he says, maskil. Don't chap me on diktuk. That's in essence what he's saying over here. Just because the grammar, the word, the way the nikud is presented here would indicate that it's a verb, not a noun, it means it's a state of being. Look again, there is the po'al, right? Po'al, the pei, ayin, lamed. Po'al. Every word in Hebrew has three letters, root. Pei, the pei apoal, the ayin apoal, and the lamed apoal. So the ayin is the middle letter. The middle letter over here is at rest. What is it at rest? The ayin. The ayin is the middle letter, and the ayin here has no sound. It's noche ha'ayin, or it's not or. It should really be a komatz. If the ayin was a komatz, then it would be an active ayin. When the ayin is a cholam, neor, the ayin is not really, it's not giving off its own sound. It's more of a vowel. It's called noche ha'ayin. The ayin is not exercising its rights. It's taking a back seat. If the ayin would be no or with a komatz, then that would be, but here it's not, that's not the way we pronounce it. It's okay, he says, al mishkal novon, nochon, av api shem bekomatz hanun, even though those words have a komatz in the first syllable. And here we have a tsere, it's a-okay. Okay, that's the basic gist of the grammar lesson in this word. And it's important because it changes the meaning of the word. The Ribbono Shel Olam is now in a state of awareness. Mim'oin kotshoi, it doesn't mean, can this really answer our question? We started with the question, what do you mean Hashem wakes up? What does that mean, Hashem wakes up? Hashem doesn't sleep. That's correct. It doesn't mean here that HaKadosh Baruch is waking up. It means Hashem is aware. Ki ne'or, Hashem is self-aware in his holy abode. Because the word ne'or is a state of being, not an act of going from a state of unconsciousness to a state of consciousness. And as far as the grammar is concerned, so we just explained it from other examples why it's not a problem. Okay, that concludes the Rashi and the Radak. Now let's see, let's take a look at the Malbim. Malbim Pasik Tezayin, what time is it now? We still have another 2-3 minutes. Pasik Tezayin, V'nochal Hashem es yudachel koi. And what does this mean? The verb yichas, ki bechalukas aretz la'asin yarimu teruma teruma eschevel aretz chayis anach la'shev Yehuda v'yakodesh Hashem. Okay, so this really is what the Malbim over here maybe is touching upon what the Abarbanel says. So Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned this, the Abarbanel, that la'asin lavoi this will be a new chalukah. Now we learned this once upon a time back in the day. We learned yichaskel. At the very end of Yechezkel, we learn about a very interesting chalukah. The land is going to be redivided. Okay, I don't remember too much from what we learned at the end of Yechezkel. But one thing we learned, Levi, Shevet Levi, is also going to get an inheritance. The land will be redivided,
Well, the main thing is Yerushalayim will be divided up into 12 portions. Each Shevet will have a chalik in Yerushalayim.
That's what it says? I don't remember that. Okay, yeah. Could be. So let's see. Ki bechalukas aretz la'asel yarimu teruma es chevel ha'aretz. They will lift up as a gift the portion of the land. Shehoi senach la'shevet Yehuda v'yekoidesh Hashem. Shesham ya'amoyr ha'mikdash v'savav lo ye'moyshav ha'koyhanam v'halaviyam v'ir Yerushalayim shel'asit shetir v'chokim min ha'mikdash. The ear will be, and this we learn in Yechezkel, Mem He Mil. So let's explain. What he's saying is that that in the time of the Bayesheni, Yerushalayim, Rabbi Mayevsky pointed this out, was the territory of Shevet Yehuda. And the truth is, it was really divided between Yehuda and Binyamin. This is a Gemara, Masechta the Megillah, and it's another place, I think in Sukkah as well, if I'm not mistaken, it's in two places in Shas. Took place in Shas, the Sugya, about the division of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeach was built upon the property of Binyamin. The main part of the, from the Mizbeach and going inward was Binyamin, and from the Mizbeach going, the outside the Mizbeach going outside was Yehuda. So the Mokim HaMikdash itself was built upon the boundary between Yehuda and Binyamin. Now, what about the major chunk of Yerushalayim? I don't know, but it seems that even though the Mikdash was partially built upon the portion of Binyamin, the major chunk of Yerushalayim was built upon the territory of Yehuda. And La'asilavoy, it says in Yechezkel, it's all subject to interpretation, that Yehuda will donate its territory to the tzibur. They're gonna relinquish their rights. They're gonna give it to the kohanim, to the levim. They're gonna relinquish their rights, their ownership of this portion for the benefit of Klal Yisrael by giving it to the kohanim and the levim. That's one piece of information that's important. Number two, la'asalavo. It's in Pasuk Yechezkel, and again, it's all subject to interpretation. So over here, the Malbim is saying things which is very, very, very esoteric. The city of Yerushalayim will not be where it is now. It's going to be shifted. The Mikdash will be in the same place, but no one's going to live there. So all the people living in the old city today are going to have to move out. Isn't that what it says over here? Okay, again, I told you this esoteric things. The cost of real estate there today is skyrocket high. But if you're a real believer in what it says over here, you wouldn't want to buy property there, because when Mashiach comes, you have to move out. That's going to be all part of the Kohanim, the Levim. It's Hashem's property. The city of Yerushalayim will be 45 mil. So what is 45 mil? It's something like 30 miles, 25 miles away. You know, the whole Eretz Yisrael, from end to end, is how many miles? 50 miles? 60 miles? What's the width of Eretz Yisrael today? From the Mediterranean until the West Bank. It's not so much, like 50, 60 miles, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, you can fly over it in 5 minutes, the whole breadth of Eretz Yisrael. It's a very short distance. So it says that Yerushalayim is not going to be where it is today. You're going to have to shift the whole city about 25 miles. So that's very surprising, right? And a major chunk of the land will be given as a gift to the Melech HaMashiach. There's going to be a redistribution of the wealth, of the real estate of Eretz Yisrael and Mashiach comes. Okay, now, we don't know what this means, obviously. This, like I told you, this is all very esoteric, very mystical. The end of Sefer Yechezkel is beyond our understanding. The Malam is just taking raw data, raw facts, and just presenting it over here in a very simple way. There will also be a gift of holiness, meaning the Yehuda he will take his portion on the north side of this holy gift. In other words, there's going to be other land that's going to be donated for the Kohanim, the Levim, the Melech HaMashiach. And Yehuda, who once upon a time lived in Yerushalayim, where is he going to go? He's going to be evicted because Yerushalayim is not going to be there anymore. It's gone. It's going to be moved over 20 miles somewhere to the side, a new city. Where is he going to go? So, and there's going to be other than that's going to become the property of the Melech HaMashiach. So he is going to have to move somewhere on the north side of this location. Where is that? I don't know. V'zeo shamar shahachelek shehoyol Yehuda b'chalukas Yehoshua al admas hakodesh yinchal Hashem will be donated to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Kohanim and the Levim. Shetir nachlas Hashem ad shahashem yinchal es Yehuda ritzon lama yikach nachlas ashu chelkei shehoyoloi al admas hakodesh ubocharet b'yushalayim v'lo yishanim mekoyim hamikdash. But don't think that since the Yehuda is going to relinquish his control, that it will no longer be called Yerushalayim. No, it will still be the Mekoyim HaMikdash. Hagam shal yidei ze yitzterech lakachas chelko shal Yehuda ki trumas HaKodesh tishtorah b'roichav ayin heimil. The trumas HaKodesh, the holy estate, will be tishtorah. I don't know what that means. Tishtorah b'roichav ayin heimil, 75 mil, which is about 50 miles. The whole Eretz Yisrael is not even 50 miles in width. Kimavur b'yecheskel sham. So this is all very mystical stuff, but he's saying over here a very, very fascinating pshat in the pasuk. Let's read. So the pasuk is the Nochal Hashem.
Yeah. First of all, Israel is 85 miles at its widest point, according to
its the widest point.
Record.
And where's the widest point, by the way? Where's the widest point, by the way? Where
borders,
is that?
Yeah. If I recall correctly from Yechezkel, the borders would be expanded and divided up in horizontal strips.
Yeah, all this stuff is very, very unknown. What exactly all this, you're right, all this stuff is very, very esoteric. Okay, it's really beyond us to understand. But he's saying over here, pshat in the pasuk, based upon the basic words. Again, very different than what we learned in everyone else. Everyone else typed the pasuk very nice. And we know the question was very, we asked the question, V'nochel Hashem es Yehuda chelkoi. Hashem, we had different translations. One translation similar is Hashem will inherit Yehuda his portion, meaning that Hashem will renew his vows, so to speak, with Yehuda, with Klal Yisrael. Look at Yehuda as mi Yehudi, ish Yehudi hoya b'shushan abira. Yehuda is a generic term for the Jewish people, Israel. Yehuda, a Yehudi. Ish Yehuda, Hashem will inherit Yehuda as Hashem's portion. Ki chelek Hashem amoy Yaakov chevel nachalosa. That's what the Radak said. Okay, that was the simplest translation of them all. It just means that Hashem will renew his relationship with the Jewish people. Ki chelek Hashem amoy Yaakov chevel nachalosa. And we ask the question, why are we calling Klal Yisrael by the name of Yehuda? What does that mean, Yehuda? What's his ichus, Yehuda, more than anyone else? So we gave here Yehuda, no, ish Yehudi. He didn't say that. You know, he didn't say that about what I just said. He said because Yehuda was Malchus, he represents Klal Yisrael, Tamid Abayi Sheni, they're the ones who came back. Okay, very, very nice. OK, Okay, we answer the question. But now the Malam comes along and he says a very, very wild pshat. He says, you can't understand this pasuk if you don't know inside out the end of Sefer Yechezkel. Really heavy duty mystical stuff, that parak beyond anyone's understanding. And it says there that when Mashiach will come, there's going to be a redistribution of the land, a lot of major changes. And Yehud is going to relinquish, his territory. He's going to give it up. He's going to move out of the city of Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim is going to be relocated to a new place where they're going to live. It's going to be a new location far away. And there's going to be other territory given to the Melech HaMashiach, other strips of land. And they're going to have to move far away. And at that point in time, what was in the past, the city of Yehuda, Yerushalayim, which was the territory of Yehuda, will now become the portion of Hashem. Who is Hashem? The Kohanim and the Levim. They until now did not have any chelik in the land. Now they are getting a chelik in the land. They're getting Yehuda's property. Hashem here means Hashem and those that represent Hashem, Shevet Levi, the Kohanim and the Levim, the people who operate and run the Beis HaMikdash. V'nochal Hashem, Hashem will now inherit. He will take over eminent domain, a hostile takeover. Es Yehuda, the land that in the past was the land of Yehuda, Chelkoi. That's going to be now Hashem's portion. Who's Hashem? His representatives, Yehud, Koyam, Levim. Al Admas HaKodesh. That's now, Al here means it will be transformed into holy land for the service of the Koyam and the Levim. And don't think that since Yehuda is being relocated, so maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be relocated as well. It'll be taken wherever Yehuda sets up shop, 50 miles away, who knows where. That's where the Beis HaMikdash will be then. No. Ubochar oid birushalayim. Oid here does not mean again. Oid means, oid is a very good word to study. Oid, we like to translate the word oid to mean again. Nochamo. That's not what it means all the time. Oid means to continue the status quo further. We like to translate oid mean new. You had a contract. The contract came to an end, finished. And then there was a break, and you went on vacation, and you went to retirement. And then oid, you come out of retirement to take back your position once again. We pull you out of retirement. No, that's not what it means. Oud means, many examples, Tanakh, to continue the status quo. Right now we're doing something, let's continue. Hashem will continue to rest his divine presence in the old Yerushalayim. Ubochar, Hashem will continue to select that his divine presence remain in this location, not the new location where Yehuda sets up shop. Okay, that's how the Malam Zon Shana Pas is very, very different. This is not what they tell you in kindergarten. When you learn Zechariah, when you were in first grade, I don't think your Mora taught you this pshat in the Pasuk. This is something which is a little bit off the beaten path. And it definitely fits into the words a lot better. It gives a lot of hisber, and it's very disturbing also. All right, we're going to stop over here, take a very short break, and then I want to continue discussing some ideas about Bris Mila, new material, new ideas about controversial things about Bris Mila. This week's parasha is Parashas Lech Lecha, where Hashem reveals to Avraham Avinu, that you're going to have the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Okay, we'll take a short break. I'll see you back after a sponsor from a real estate agent in the old city.
Who's that?
I don't know. We just learned about real estate agent.
I didn't speak, Mark. I just wrote in an email and everything was all right.
Baruch Hashem, he's back in business, Mark. He's running around the whole Eretz Yisrael.
Dr. Cohen, how's Philly? We need a personal report. Huh? Rabbi Dr. Cohen, knock, knock.
Shalom Aleichem.
Kamala Harris says, this is the wave of the future, beware America. This is Khalila the Khalila, our future president to be president. This is the wave of the future, beware America, she says.
And then she'll laugh about it.
Which is worse, hers or Hillary's laugh?
They're both annoying.
Annoying? That's an understatement.
Why do you think she doesn't go out to speak very much?
Because she has nothing to say. She's a lightweight.
Yeah, if Biden could have knocked her out, then you know that he's a mumlach, you know, he's a real salt. He has experience. He knows exactly what he's doing.
What in the world are you talking about? What are you talking about? Knocked her out.
He knocked her out on the primary, right?
Primaries, he knocked her out.
He knocked her out. And it was a lightweight. She was a lightweight.
That's correct.
All lightweights, because they were not experienced. He's an experienced 40-year lawyer. He knows the system. He knows how to work the stuff around her. They didn't tell him to run. He figured he wasn't stealing enough from China. He figured China would easily give them $1 trillion a year if he becomes president.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should get him on treason and hang him.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And Hillary.
That's gonna happen.
Dr. Cohen, where is he? Yes, Tamari. I'm in the middle of the shear. We'll see. Yes, we hear you.
Reporting from Philadelphia. Markly present.
Yeah, but the question we have is, what's going on in Philadelphia? You're there. Tell us.
Garnet the garnet.
Was the machin from the olives garnish?
The blight garnet.
You don't go out, right?
It's nice and comfortable right in here.
Mm-hmm. You look out the window, you see fire?
Fire? What's that, this fire?
That's good. If it's brennt, I don't know.
I'm reminded of the Shagasaye.
No.
He got a raw deal in the city. And Harris by it. So as he walked out, he turned around and he said, he mentioned the name of the city, and he said, it's not burning yet. A vibration broke out.
Oh, Okay, let's learn about Bris Milah.